Welcome, everybody, to Productivity Book Group. I am your host and facilitator, Ray Sidney Smith. Thanks for joining us here on the live call or on the podcast for Productivity Book Group. Today on this call, we will be discussing Getting Things Done, The Art of Stress-Free Productivity, Revised Edition, March 2015, by David Allen. The Amazon book description states, since it was first published almost 15 years ago, David Allen's Getting Things Done has become one of the most influential business books of its era, and the ultimate book on personal organization, quote-unquote GTD, is now shorthand for an entire way of approaching professional and personal tasks and has spawned an entire culture of websites, organizational tools, seminars, and offshoots. Allen has rewritten the book from start to finish, tweaking his classic text with important perspectives on the new workplace, and adding material that will make the book fresh and relevant for years to come. This new edition of Getting Things Done will be welcomed not only by its hundreds of thousands of existing fans, but also by a whole new generation eager to adopt its proven principles, end quote. And so we'll be the judge of that today. And so I want to kick off the conversation with everyone's initial general reaction to this new edition, and really the hope here is to have a discussion about a comparison of what was in the books, because, you know, our first four productivity book group discussions were centered on the material that was Getting Things Done from the original book. And, you know, here I want us to really focus on, you know, the writing quality, style, and organization of the new material in sort of a compare and contrast, as well as, you know, there's a new foreword by James Fallows, the Atlantic journalist, the New Horizons focus, you know, and the areas of focus and accountabilities and the work and development done there and some of the work around the different terminology. I'd like to discuss the cognitive science in Chapter 14 and of course, our pathways to GTD mastery that David Allen added in Chapter 15. So that's sort of the overarching arc of what I'd like to discuss today. But let's step back and start with, what are folks' initial sort of general reactions to this new edition?
This is Lee. I enjoyed reading it more. One of the other things that a number of reviewers commented on.
More than the original?
Yeah. And he talks a little bit about having done this, and some of the online reviews of the new edition talk about it. He's just loosened the language up a little bit. And some of that, I think, was his explicit focus. On the original cover, he's in suit and tie, and he looks pretty formal. And this one, there's a new picture, and he's smiling and relaxed. And that's kind of – there's a different feel to the writing that kind of reflects that same, let's relax a little and try to make this – more accessible, notwithstanding his comments, and we'll get to it later in the mastery chapter about, okay, this really isn't so simple, even though it's a lot of simple pieces.
Right. There's definitely a contrast in his writing style and in the tone of the material, you know, coming from the original material, which, as most people know, being the chief of GTD evangelist around here, I absolutely love the first book, or the book in general. But, you know, the new edition is definitely far more relaxed and has more of a casual feel to it. So I believe that you're right, Lee. He was trying to make this more accessible, and I think that for me, I felt like I was sitting in one of his seminars. The language that he is using in his new book, in the new edition, that is very, very similar to what he would say, if not almost exactly what he would say in one of his, you know, Mastering Workflow or in the GTD Spark seminars when he's giving them. You know, it's really like it's the language that would actually come off of his tongue.
As if he were speaking to us.
Absolutely. Actually, in some of the sections of the books, you can watch TED Talks or other seminars where he's on YouTube recorded, if you haven't seen him live, and you can literally see word for word some of the phrases that just come out of him so easily, make you know, are exactly what is in the book, which is really, really fascinating, you know, and it makes a lot of sense. I mean, in my first book, I did the same exact thing, you know, like things that the book was designed around the reality that I wouldn't be able to speak to everybody in the world. So, you know, why not just take everything that I would normally say to people around the topic of web and mobile strategy and write it in a book, you know? And so, you know, a lot of the words that are in that book are similar to what I would say to somebody. So I get that about his work there. And so that was really actually, I thought it was actually nice. I thought it was actually fun so that people could sort of see into the, you know, sort of like the conversation, so to speak, that you would have with him in a workshop or seminar. Anyone else with sort of initial thoughts, reactions, responses to the new edition and how you felt about it?
This is Stacy.
Hi, Stacy.
One of the things I liked is that a lot of it, of course, is exactly the same, but he'll insert these paragraphs of clarification throughout that are probably directly related to questions and comments and work he's done in the past 10 years. And they really heighten the clarity for me of the book. So like in the chapter 4, for example, in the new version, he adds a paragraph that really, you know, that just kind of, he talks about how, you know, don't be overwhelmed by this, you know, take it step by step. And it's that kind of more gentle tone that I like about the new version.
Yeah, I really love the new sort of summary insets that you're talking about. Those are really helpful because it's like I don't need to actually like in my first first read through, I have underlines and you know highlights and comments in the margins, and I do that in every book. Sorry, libraries, and which is one of the reasons why I don't actually take out a lot of library books in physical. That I'm going to actually want to mark up, I love that because it's like all of those little insets are either great corollaries to the primary text or they're quick summaries, and I really enjoyed that. So that makes a lot of sense, Stacy. Thanks.
Is that you're calling them insets? I'm reading this on Kindle, so are they actually insets in the physical book?
Yeah, they are insets for me. In chapter 4, what was the particular one you were talking about?
The second paragraph, much of the detail in this section.
Hold on a second.
Can seem more than you can digest or implement at a first read.
Okay, so that's not an inset for
okay,
me.
Okay. Right.
But it is that is a good paragraph, but he has these little insets that he's put in, and they're exactly what you were talking about, you know, sort of being like either commentary on or a clarification of the material within the book, which is I mean like for someone who's just going to literally skim through the sections, you know, if you read the section headings and those little insets, not the quotations, the insets, you know, it's actually you can flow right through it and get an update on in terms of what he's trying to capture in those paragraphs, and I think that could be really helpful for if you need to sort of skim through to a section and find out what you exactly need in that area. So,
Ray, do you mean the real short ones, like one sentence?
Yes.
Like here's one from the chapter on organizing. The categories must be kept visually, physically, and psychologically separate to promote clarity. Those
exactly.
Little short ones.
You got it.
I highlighted a lot of those too.
Right, exactly. I was like, oh, look at that. The whole paragraph is just like succinctly captured in this little, you know, blurb, and I really like that. So and what did folks think about the foreword by James Fellows? Did anyone have an actual sort of response to it? What were your thoughts there? Because it's a very
I did not have any particular response to it.
Okay.
Anyone else?
I'm a big fan of Fellows, and he wrote about how getting things done was a big deal to him. But the foreword, you know, was nice, but I didn't find it an exciting piece of the book. It's just a nice checkmark kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a fan of James's Fallows as well, and yeah, I didn't really like speak to me in any way you know, greatly. So if you're listening to the podcast and you're thinking about, you know, skipping it, it would be all right. what I do really love is the introduction to the book and David's sort of conversation that he has before he gets into it. And
about like what's new and why he did the new edition?
Absolutely.
Sort of a review of what it's up to.
Yeah. So when he like talks about what's new in this edition and his approach and, you know, the fact that, you know, GTD is now in 30 languages and, you know, just the global impact and the ability for it to, you know, bleed over and really be understood multiculturally is a testament to its abilities and also sort of a recognition of its complexity, but that a complex world requires a complex system in order to be able to combat it. And, you know, I know that a lot of people have that conversation about GTD, which is, you know, it's so complex, and it's like, well, complex is not difficult. You create difficulty by looking at a complex thing as a whole. You create simplicity and ease by breaking things down into parts, simple, and looking at them one by one, easy, right? So you know, we can all be overwhelmed by GTD, but it's only by looking at it as the whole, as GTD. You know, I'm going to learn GTD today, not going to happen, but I'm going to learn how to process, you know, one thing at a time, easy. So, you know, when people talk about whether GTD is hard or not, you know, I'm always like, yeah, GTD is hard. It's difficult because life is hard. Life isn't easy, right? Unless you have a lot of money and really nice parents or something. I don't know, really nice friends. But the reality is that, you know, it's not about GTD as a whole. It's about the parts, and each of the parts fundamentally build up to a complex whole. But I think that that's the beauty of it, you know, and you can use, and I think this is sort of one of the other parts of the book that I really enjoy, is how David Allen, you know, says, you know, you know that you need right now in your life, and then you'll benefit from it. And once you've inured those benefits, then you can take on a little bit more and a little bit more until you've fully invested in the system and have a true, for you, productive system. You know, and where you can be productive, as Mike Vardy says, instead of doing productive, you know. So it's really important for us to get to that place. And I feel that this new edition really does speak volumes to the realities of being able to invest in the system. So let's move along to some of the fundamental language changes and some of the sort of differences in the book. What were some of the big ticket items that you felt were different in the book? I'll take note of them, and then we'll sort of talk about each of them one by one. What were the big differences in the book in this edition, and which ones would you like to talk about?
Well, a couple of the five principles or big five steps, a couple of the words were changed, maybe used reflect instead of review more often.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll talk about the GTD workflow and the word changes. Jonathan, I heard you chatting there. What was your note?
Well, I was actually going to comment on that same thing. My analysis of the differences has come about from just reading and him talking about what he changed, because I did not read the first book. So a lot of this I'm going to be listening. But that was an example, I believe Stacey just mentioned, or maybe it was Bobby. But that's one of the changes that I think that I've read about, and that seems to make a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was Bonnie, and yes, that's a big change to the original book that was sort of made that was happening in Making It All Work in 2010 when David Allen published Making It All Work. He did make those language changes, and it was sort of a segue to the revised edition. So we all are certainly going to have to change some of the language we'll have around that. I'd also like to talk about the new horizons. You know, he's now called the horizons ground, horizon 1 through 5. And so that's definitely a fundamental change to the naming practice in GTD. What else would you all like to discuss in terms of the changes over the next period? Any other big changes you'd like to discuss? I mean, the workflow diagram has stayed the same. You know, that's pretty much stood the test of time. And you know, we've had the two editions of the chapters on cognitive science and GTD mastery, and we'll get there. But any big differences in the book that you wanted to discuss?
I thought it was more notable how much was the same. Like the core has not changed. I can tell a few parts are rewritten, but it's more that he fleshed it out more.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he, go ahead, Lee.
That's a perfect comment. I was just looking at the reflecting section, and in the new book, he's fleshed it out a huge amount. So things that in the previous edition got a one sentence description of the various pieces of the weekly review, he's been much more explicit about what all is included in each of the topics, and they're slightly renamed. So a lot of things that were just a noun before, the headers are actually a verb, and he's very consistent about making them all verbs so that it is a little more prescriptive so that you don't have to figure out what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's a really great note. That's a great insight that all of these items, you know, it says review the upcoming calendar, review your waiting list, you know, get into empty and so on and so forth. You know, he's actually telling you the verb necessary in order to get yourself moving along that path.
And then it's a paragraph instead of a sentence.
Right.
Explain what each of those means.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I really did love
to organize another of the workflow term changes. The old one used to say process, and now it's organize.
Yeah.
And is clarify different, or was it always clarify? I used to have a little acronym in my name, in my head. It was like capture, clear, you know, like CPAD or something. Now it's C-CORD, C-C-O-R-D.
Ah, I love mnemonics. I've got to write that down. You know, the old workflow diagram just sort of rolls off my tongue every time I say it, you know, because it was collect, process, organize, review, do. And that was just sort of how I've always, you know, known it, because those were the words he used. And now with sort of the capture, clarify, organize, reflect, engage, you know.
Right.
it's a little bit different, but now it's in my, you know, in my head, yeah, core works. So that's really cool. I like core. So let's talk about the five principles.
This isn't a huge thing, but was there a diagram in the other book showing what a tickler file is?
I believe
that was
there. Yeah,
that was there.
And the other thing, this is small, but I remember he talked about if you're going to get a file cabinet, get a great file cabinet. You want one with German engineering where the drawer just rolls in and out with no friction at all. And it doesn't say German engineering anymore.
No. I don't think that would go over well with the new crowd. But but he does, you know, like he references a lot of other books in this particular edition, which I thought was really interesting. Like he references a book that we've read here on Productivity Book Group, which is Willpower by Dr. Roy Baumeister and the journalist John Tierney. And he references Atul Gawande's The Checklist Manifesto, which is a fantastic book,
right,
which we should probably read. We should probably read that and discuss that together on the book group as well someday.
The Organized Mind.
The Organized Mind by Daniel Levitin. And what was the other one? There was another one that he references in here that he's talked about on several different podcasts, in interviews that he's been doing, you know, as publicity for the new edition. And he mentions another one. I can't remember what it is right now, but yeah, no, he definitely gives some really good book reading options.